Yeah, like.
Tom knew that he was on the wrong side of the island, that they had to go to the north. So quickly, they found some fresh water, some fresh berries, and had a slight meal. He looked at Jackie. Jackie looked worn and tired. He says, "Tom, do you think Gus and the captain and some of the men made it?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "Do you think Gus had a map?" I said, "Yes, I think he did." "You think that maybe we'll never find the Kayam Jewel?" He says, "We're going to go look for it." He says, "I know it's in the mountainous part, which is the north, so we're going to have to head across through the jungle." And he said, "The sooner we start, the better." He says, "Are you ready?" She said, "Well, I'm ready, sure." He looked at Ritzy and says, "I think Ritzy's ready too." They started through the dense jungle. And every so often they would stop, pick berries. Tom was getting hungry for meat. He looked at its bullets. Most of them were sopping wet and wouldn't even shoot. So he couldn't use his guns. Finally, as they were going through the jungle, they noticed that there was a strange silence. And Tom knew what that meant. He stopped and listened. "Tom," he said, "is there something wrong?" He said, "Jackie, in the jungle, when the birds and the animals stop making noises," he says, "there's somebody around that disturbed him." "Like who?" He says, "I don't know." He said, "but I have a feeling we're being watched." Jackie got a little closer to Tom. He said, "Who's watching us, Tom?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "but don't look frightened." He says, "just keep on walking." They started to walk, and finally they came to a small clearing, and they looked across it to the jungle again. He says, "just keep on walking through the clearing." He says, "we'll keep on going." So they start walking through the clearing, and all of a sudden, Jackie sensed that they were completely surrounded by someone or something. He says, "Tom." And all of a sudden, from way out around the edge of the jungle, came the natives with their spears, yelling and screaming and jabbing their spears at him and so forth. And finally, Tom says, "don't look frightened, Jackie." He says, "I am." He says, "but don't look it." And all of a sudden, the noise stopped. And there was one of the natives that came forward that spoke very broken English. "So you come with me. You speak English," said Tom. He says, little English. He says, "you come." And finally they all began to point their spears. "Ublakara! Ublakara! Ubla!" Tom says, "what are they saying?" Jack says, "well, I know what they're saying." He said, "what are they?" He said, "Ublakaba, Ublakaba." He says, "I know that. But I wonder what it means." He says, "it probably means get going or the spear's going to go through us." So finally, when they got to the village, there was a bunch of thatched roofs. And one of the biggest ones that had some scalps hanging on the outside, they took him to it. Of course, Tom knew that would be the chief. And in the distance, he saw a totem pole. And way at the top of the totem pole, there was a big empty space. And Tom knew that was the place where the Kayam Jewel belonged. They took him into the chief. He was sitting on sort of a makeshift chair out of logs. He had a ring in his nose and brass bracelets around his wrists, long hair, and painted faces across, streaks across his cheeks. The one that spoke a little English, "we find them in the jungle." The chief looked at him, said a few words, clapped his hands, and in a few minutes, four braves came out and grabbed him, took him out into the village, the center of the village, and tied him to two posts. And all of a sudden, all the natives were screaming and yelling and bringing brush and putting around the posts. "What are they going to do, Tom?" "It's quite obvious, I think." Jack said, "you mean they're going to barbecue us?" All right, they had taken them to the village, and the chief said some words. Luckily, they found one native that could speak very little broken English. But before Tom and Jackie knew what was going on, they were tied to two poles out in the open yard among the thatched roof huts. And the natives began to bring in wood and brush and pile it around them. Jackie didn't have to guess too much what they planned to do. Like he said, they're going to barbecue them. Pretty soon the chief came out and everybody bowed, got on their hands and knees and bowed. And all of a sudden, two runners came with flames burning, torches. They rushed up and threw the torches into the brush, and pretty soon the fire began to spread and crackle. Jackie and Tom could feel the heat. Says, "What are we going to do, Tom?" Jackie said, "I'm sorry." He says, "About the only thing I can say, I got you into this." He says, "It's my fault, and all I can say is I'm sorry." Jackie felt something cold on the back of his hands, like a cold nose, and he looked back. He could see Ritzy. He said, "Ritzy," he says, chew the rope, because the fire hadn't gotten around to the back yet, but it was getting there fast. Tom kind of looked at Jackie, and he says, "I don't think it'll do a bit of good, Jackie." He said, "Even if he chews the rope," he says, "where could we run to?" He said, "they'd be after us." Jack said, "Well, I'm going to try it." He says, "Hurry up, Ritzy." And pretty soon he broke one hand loose and then the other. The fire was coming nearer and nearer. Jackie began to cough. The smoke was getting thick. And as his hand came across his pocket, like all boys, he always carried a bunch of junk. And his hand hid something in his pocket. He reached in, and it was a mirror, a broken mirror that he always carried around in case he needed it. He looked up at the sun very quickly and looked at the totem pole and looked at the big hole up there where the Kayam Jewel should be. And when the natives were so busy dancing and celebrating, he took this mirror and reflected the light up into the Kayam Jewel, and it lit up this whole hollow place where the Kayam Jewel was supposed to be. The natives kept on dancing. Tom saw what he was doing. He says, "Keep it up, Jackie." He said, "That's the only way we can get out of this." And they start dancing, and finally one of the natives stopped. "Yomaha!" And they all looked up, and he pointed. And they saw the big light in this vacant place shining, and it was very strange to them. And they all began to kneel towards the totem pole. And they realized that some strange magic thing has happened, that the Kayam Jewel was trying to appear or come back. And as they were all kneeling and bowing, the chief himself was kneeling and bowing, and finally he got up and realized that probably Jackie and Tom were the white gods that were sent. "Yumaha! Jiakama!" And all of a sudden the two warriors that brought the torches out came out and began to brush the fire out and pull the wood and the brush away from it and began to stomp out the fire, throw dirt on it, and finally they put it out. The native who spoke English came forward. "You come to bring Kayam Jewel back to us," the chief say. Tom says, "Yes, we have come back to bring back the Kayam Jewel." There was a smile on his face. He rushed up to the chief and said, in his native language, the chief smiled. And he knew now that these were the two white gods that came to return the Kayam Jewel. And he told him, he says, "Bring us the Kayam Jewel now." The man ran back. "Chief say, you give Kayam Jewel now." "We don't have the Kayam Jewel. We must go to the mountains, many days away, and we will bring it back." And then he rushed back and told it to the chief. Chief nodded. So that evening, Jackie and Tom were the guests of honor. They sat on the dirt floor around a huge table of palm leaves, and the food was just loaded. They had roast wild pig, berries, and coconuts, and just everything. And Jackie and Tom were all looked upon as white gods because they performed this magic miracle and they are to return the Kayam Jewel. The next morning, they got up bright and early and had another feast, and they noticed that at the edge of the jungle, there was sort of a sedan chair with two poles, and in the middle there were two chairs with a covering on the top out of large leaves. Jackie looked at Tom. Tom, what is all that? He says, I don't know, but my guess is, since they think we're gods, that we shouldn't even be walking through the jungle. He says, they'll probably have some of the natives go with us and carry us. Jackie smiled. He says, yeah, how about that? He said, now that's the way to travel through the jungle. Tom says, don't be too optimistic. He says, if we don't find the Khayyam jewel, back to the barbecue pit. Ooh, yeah. Tom, what if we don't? He said, we'll think about that later. He says, we're going to have to bring it back. So in a few minutes, the man that spoke the broken English told Tom that they would send 10 men with him into the jungle with food and water so that he could bring back the Khayyam jewel. Tom promised that he would do his very best. So all that morning, they traveled in the jungle. They had a man run along the side with a great big leaf fanning Tom and Jackie and brushing away the mosquitoes and the flies. And Tom and Jackie would just relax and sip cool water and as they went through the jungle. It happened that way until late evening, and then they'd prepare the meals for him. They had just prepared supper and served Tom because they didn't have to do anything. They just sat and were waited on hand and foot. They would be brushing away the mosquitoes, and the Ritzy, of course, was right along with them, and he was treated just like a dog god, I suppose. So he went right along with them. It was almost sunset when the caravan stopped abruptly. They put down the sedan chair, and the men put down all the supplies, and the one that spoke broken English was with them. We go no farther. He says, that is Nairobi territory. We stay in Zulu territory. He says, we cannot go any farther. Why, wait a minute, Tommy, they can't leave and just dump us. When you come back with Khayyam jewel, we will be here to take you back. And they left. He said, well, we got this far. Well, how far is it to the mountains, Tom? He said, oh, it isn't. We're about halfway there. He said, we'll make it. We've got food here. We've got everything we need. He said, we'll make us a knapsack. And he said, in the morning, we'll be ready to go. So they made camp for the night. Jackie began to curl up under the tree. Are you going to sleep there, Jackie? Asked Tom. We said, where are you going to sleep? He said, well, I'm going up in the tree. He said, I wouldn't want a big snake wrapped around me in the morning. Big snake, Tom? He said, or some wild animal. He said, I'd hate to wake up in the morning and find myself eaten up by some wild animal. He said, Tom, he said, is there room up there for me too? Oh, he says, yeah, there's a lot of branches out here you can spread out. He says, come on up. So he helped him up, and finally he saw Ritzy down there. Ritzy kept looking up. He said, what about Ritzy? He said, there are wild animals. He could get him. Ritzy kept looking up and barking, and finally Jackie reached down and grabbed him and pulled him up, and all three of them slept in the tree that night. It was a strange thing to see a dog sleeping in the tree, but it was better than being on the ground. And the next morning, they had breakfast and started out through the jungle, and it was pretty difficult this time. It wasn't sitting in an easy chair. And finally, when they got through the worst part of the jungle, far out in the distance, they could see sort of a hazy bluish on the horizon that looked like mountains, and Tom was sure that they were the mountains. That's where we're going, Jackie, over there. Wow, replied Jackie. He said, they look awful tall, and they'll get taller as we get closer. Tom looked out across the swamp. It was a huge swamp. You know, if that isn't very deep, and I don't think it is, if we could cut across that, we could save probably a half a day. Otherwise, we're going to have to go clear around. Jack said, we can go across it. He said, I can swim if necessary. He says, come on. So they picked up a stick, and they started walking in through the swamp. They wanted to cut across. It wasn't too big, but big enough. But it would take a long time to go around. Tom was up ahead, and he was walking with his stick and feeling the ground. It was up to his knees and finally got up to his waist. He looked back. He says, "Come on, Jackie." Ritzy was swimming, and he sort of enjoyed it. And finally, as Jackie stopped, he looked at Tom, and he noticed that Tom was getting shorter. "Tom?" Tom looked at him, and Tom looked very frightened. "Jackie, stay back." "Tom, what's happening?" He said, "Stay back." He said, "It's quicksand." "Quicksand? Tom!" And he started going for him. He said, "Jackie, stay back. There's nothing you can do." Jackie watched. Tom began to get shorter. The water was up to his waist and slowly up to his shoulders. And finally, Jackie knew that it would be a matter of seconds before he would go completely under. "Tom! Tom!" "Jackie, please." He said, "Don't come out here. Go back. Go back." Jackie was yelling, or Tom was yelling, rather. He said, "Jackie, stay back. Stay back. Stay back." He said, "Tom!" And finally, he saw Tom's chin go under, and he began to blow bubbles, and he knew this would probably be the last time he'd ever see Tom again. And things rushed through his mind. Tom was probably one of his best friends. They did more for him than anybody, and he liked Tom. Finally, he took the stick and started to rush forward. He says, "Tom, Tom, grab the stick." Tom's eyes were just going under, and like a drowning man, any drowning man, he reaches for even a straw. He reached out and grabbed the stick, which is what he didn't want Jackie to do. And as Tom grabbed the stick, Jackie began to pull on it. But going down in the quicksand, instead of pulling Tom out, Jackie began to be pulled forward into the quicksand. Jackie began to be pulled into the quicksand, and he realized what he had done. Now, he didn't know, should he hold on or let go of the stick and let the stick go down with Tom? Ritzy was swimming nearby. He grabbed with one hand the rope off his shoulder. He says, "Ritzy," he says, "go to that tree over there. Go to the tree with the rope. Go around and around." He said, "Ritzy." Ritzy kept looking. He said, "Ritzy, have you got any sense? Hurry." Ritzy jumped over, grabbed the rope, and began to swim, and finally got to shallow ground, began to walk. He said, "Go around and around and around." And evidently Ritzy knew that there was immediate danger, and he started going around and around the tree with the rope. Jackie grabbed the rope, and now he felt a solid thing that he could hold on to. And as he was being pulled forward, he stopped. And he could feel a big tug, because Tom's head was underwater now. And slowly he's holding onto the rope and holding onto the stick. And finally he looked and he saw Tom's head coming up out of the water. And finally he began to come forward as he edged inch by inch on the stick. Finally Tom was up to his waist and on solid ground. "Thanks, Jackie." He said, "You shouldn't have done it though. I could have pulled you in." "So you can thank Ritzy." Ritzy was over there still standing by the tree. He says, "Thanks, Ritzy," which Ritzy wagged his tail as if to say, "You're welcome." "Well, Jackie, it means that we have to go around." He says, "Come on." They started to walk back through the swamp over to the shore, and it was another part was getting deeper again up to their knees. Tom said, "This time I'll be careful, Jackie. Don't let me lead the way. We'll not get into quicksand again." As they started going across to the shore, Tom was way up to his waist, and so was Jackie, and Ritzy was swimming behind. He says, "Hurry up, Ritzy, lazy bones." And as they were walking, none of them really looked back, except once to see where Ritzy was. Not even Ritzy looked back, because had he looked back, he would have seen this huge alligator slither down into the water. And Ritzy's tail that was swinging back and forth made a delightful bait for this alligator. And as Ritzy was swimming, he didn't even know that behind him was this huge alligator, just waiting for a tasty morsel. Ritchie was in no hurry either. He was swimming along, following. When Jackie finally saw Tom climb up on the bank, he says, "Come on, Jackie." Jackie says, "I'm coming." He said, "Give me your hand." And as he reached down to take Jackie's hand, Jackie turned around and saw Ritchie. He says, "Come on." And just a few feet in back of him was this huge alligator. "Look out!" he says, "Ritchie!" Jackie let go of the stick that Tom was holding for him, and he saw a smaller one, about 8 inches long. He started to swim out towards Ritchie to help him. Tom said, "Jackie, no!" It was too late. The huge alligator opened its mouth, and he was ready to snap down on Ritchie's tail when Jackie rushed up and stuck the stick horizontally up and down between the jaws of the alligator. And as the alligator went down to clamp, they wouldn't clamp. They stayed wide open. Tom was on shore, and as he looked, he saw an alligator with his mouth wide open, getting out of there as fast as he could go. Jackie looked over, and he began to laugh. They pulled Ritchie up on the bank. Jackie says, "Whew, that was close, Ritchie." He said, "Jackie, you shouldn't do that. You scare me half to death." He says, "You know, I was thinking, Tom." He said, "What were you thinking?" "Well, how's that alligator ever going to eat?" Tom laughed. He said, "He probably won't." He says, "Unless he goes to his dentist and gets that stick taken out." Tom laughed. He said, "Alligators don't have dentists." Tom says, "I know that." He says, "Come on." He says, "We're going to stay out of that swamp for sure." So they circled all the way around. It took more time, but by evening they got to the foot of the mountains. They looked up at these huge mountains. Somewhere in the mountains, Tom knew, at least Jackie thought so, that there was a Kiam jewel hidden, and they would have to start searching. As they were eating by a small campfire, Tom asked Jackie to climb up on the huge rock and look over the valley and see if he could see any smoke. Because if there was a campfire burning, like Gus or the captain or something, they could find them. And if they could find Gus, they could follow Gus to the Kiam jewel. So Jackie, while Tom was fixing supper, climbed up on this huge rock and looked down across the valley. It was dusk, almost dark, and nowhere did he see any smoke or anything. The only smoke that he saw was coming from Tom's campfire. He came back. "Tom, do you think you ought to put out your fire?" He said, "They'll see us." Tom smiled. He says, "I hope they do. Wouldn't it be nice if the Kiam jewel came to us?" "Oh, Tom, you're just too smart." He said, "You think of everything." He says, "Well, in this business, you have to." He says, "You think he'll really see the smoke and come over here?" "Oh, I don't know whether he will, but at least we'll try it." He says, "By morning, we may have company and the Kiam jewel." "Well, that we'll find out when the time comes." When morning came, they didn't have company, nor did they have the Kiam jewel. They looked down across the valley and no smoke, no sign of anything. In fact, Tom was quite worried. "Jackie, you know, I think that Gus might have gone down and drowned in the water. That means that we'll never find the Kiam jewel." "No, it doesn't mean we'll never find it. It means we're going to have to look for it. And that's what we're going to do today." He said, "We'll just start searching." So they packed up their gear and started up the mountainside. They got halfway up to sort of a plateau and made camp at noon. They looked down across the valley and no sign of anybody or anything. Tom looked up. He says, "We're going to go all the way to the top." He says, "Somewhere there must be some kind of a place where you could hide a Kiam jewel." And right after lunch, as they started up, Tom went to a ledge. And as he got to the ledge, there was a sort of a hollow place. And he stepped on it, and he turned his ankle, and he fell. Jackie rushed. He said, "Tom, are you all right?" He said, "I don't know." He says, "I think I might have broken the leg." Tom says, Jackie says, "Come here." And he helped him up and laid him down. He said, "You stay right there." He said, "I'll get some sticks." He went down the side of the mountain a ways and got some sticks and brought them back and got some rope and tied his leg up. He said, "Can you step on it?" Tom got up. He said, "Jackie, I'm not going to be able to do much of anything, at least not for a while." He said, "It's all right. We'll just stay here." "We can't stay here, Tom." He said, "I can look. I can go to the top. Ritchie and I can do it." Well, I hate to have you go alone, Jackie. I can do it. He said, if we find it, we'll bring it back. Tom thought a while and thought, well, that's all that there is left to do. He says, all right, Jackie. He says, take some food with you. Take Ritzy with you. And he says, go to the top and try to get back by nightfall. Could you do that? He said, I'll be here waiting. He says, sure, Tom. He says, and you take it easy. He says, I'll be back. Ritzy and Jackie started up the mountain. They were almost halfway up to the peak, but they had a long way to go. Jackie sat down in the shady side of the mountain and rested. Ritzy sat by him. And as he sat there, he felt a cool breeze on his back. He said, it's cool here, isn't it, Ritzy? I wonder why. And as he turned back and looked, he saw a fairly sized hole in the side of the mountain, sort of a big crack. And he got up and walked towards it. And the closer he got, he could feel a cool breeze coming out of that crack. Holy cow, Ritzy. He said, there must be a cave in there. He says, you wait out here. He says, I don't know whether you can crawl through this or not. I have to go through sideways. He says, you wait out here. He says, and if I don't come back, you go get Tom. Understand? Ritzy kind of looked at him. He says, get Tom if I don't come back. He started into through this crevice, going sideways. And finally, after about 20 yards, he came through and looked inside in the darkness and the light coming through this crack. He could see it was a huge cave. He says, holy cow. He reached into his pocket and got a piece of candle that he always carried, some matches, and lit it, and looked down. On one side, there was a huge sort of a flat piece with sand on it, and on the side he was, there was a flat piece. But in between was a ravine. He walked up close to it and looked down, and there was no bottom. He picked up a rock and dropped it. He never heard the bottom. Wow, a bottomless pit. He picked it up again, a rock again, and dropped it. Never hit bottom. He said, boy, I'd hate to fall in that. And as he looked around, the side that he was on was only small. And he looked up around the crevices, nothing. But on the other side, it was a bigger cave, and there were all kind of branches to it. And he thought, if anyone were to hide a Kayam jewel, this would be the place. But how is he to get across? It was at least 30 feet across. He had his rope, which he always carried with him. He took it and threw it across a couple times. He wanted to get it around a rock. The next time he threw it, he got it right where he wanted to. He tied it, the other end on his side, to another rock and tested it. He was going to go hand over hand across the ravine, the bottomless pit. He tested it again because he knew once the rope would break, that would be the end. But he had to get to the other side. He tested it, took a deep breath, and started across, hand over hand. He remembered, don't look down. Keep looking across the other side. He was holding on for dear life. He was about halfway across when he paused just a second, and he heard like crunching sand under heavy feet. And he looked back, and standing on the side that he had just left was Gus. Well, my friend, we meet again. Hello, Gus. He says, boy, you've been getting in my beard. And this time, he says, I'm going to have to say goodbye. He pulled out his knife. Please, Gus, please. I'm sorry, boy. I should have done this long ago. He took the knife and began to slice it across the rope. Jackie could feel each strand as it broke give a jerk. And as he waited for the last strand to be cut, he looked down into the bottomless pit. He knew that he would be falling forever. Gus had come into the cave also as Jackie was going hand over hand across the bottomless cavern. And he was about halfway across when he heard heavy footsteps and gravel crushing, and he looked up and saw Gus. And Gus said, "Wow,